Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, my consummate privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by a very dear friend, Brother Paige Tyler, who is a practitioner of the 12-step ministry for Christians. This is a man who will come alongside of anyone, day or night, in the love of Christ. Brother Paige, welcome back, as always, to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Bradley. It's a blessing always.
And you know, I get the sense, I'm sorry, you continue.
I was extremely surprised when you cued me this week after what you've been through the previous week. I thought you'd be taking at least a week of rest.
Hey, brother, the show goes on, you know what I mean?
Ah, man. People don't appreciate you, you know that?
Well, hey, you know, my reward is in heaven, Paige, as is yours, and you know that also. You know, I've come to believe that you're, insofar as this broadcast is concerned, you've become a fan favorite. And so I'm grateful for your presence. We've worked together for some 20 years now.
Blessed.
And I'm grateful that it continues through this medium. Praise God. We're looking at the 12 steps today. We're looking at the fourth step.
Yep.
So, brother, maybe a quick review step. And then share with us what step number four is.
Okay, here we go. Step number four. I'm going to say real fast. It's the everybody run for the hill step. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. But let's back up. How did we get here? Because we went through step one. Then we admitted we are powerless over the effects of our separation from God and that our lives have become unmanageable. Now, remember, the whole problem here is our separation from God, you know, or the Garden of Eden, the eviction. Ever since then, nothing has really gone right. Then we went to step two. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. But God's a gentleman. He's just not going to come right out and call you crazy. But take one look at our society and what we're doing and what we have been doing for thousands of years. And you got to admit, if any rational mind takes a rational look at it, we humans behave in a very insane way. So we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves will restore us to sanity. And once we start seeking sanity, we found out that we couldn't do it all by ourselves. So we made a decision to turn our will and our lives to the care of God as we understood him, as best we could understand him today, as best we understand him with our current knowledge about him. And that leads us up to step four. And step four is a very important step. Usually when I'm working with individuals, I see a lot of enthusiasm right up through step three. Some people get a little scared off by step three if they're like the agnostic or atheistic type. But most people are enthusiastic right through step three, and then they get to step four, and they go running for the hills. Many times I don't see them anymore after that because all of a sudden we're asking them to take a good look at themselves, and we have a hard time with doing that.
If I may, brother, insofar as step three, that we entrust ourselves to God insofar as we understand him, and this is my lead-in as well to step four, it strikes me we need to make a distinction between what we do genuinely know of him by way of God's revelation on the one hand and what we would otherwise make of him on the other, because the Bible does say that God holds this against us. We thought he was just like us. So what we do, therefore, is we impose our pathologies onto the Almighty, who is holy.
Yep.
the Almighty would rather help excise from our lives, bring healing and deliverance to us from our pathologies. But for this to happen, as we were sharing earlier in Bible class with our brother and colleague, Dennis Mitchell, we must partner with the Holy Spirit. You know, we are active participants now as Christians in the divine nature. So we have from God what we require to do that very difficult thing, which is to look ourselves in the eyes or in the mirror. It's brutal for many people, isn't it?
It is very brutal because we've been so used to justifying our own behavior and transferring our own fault over to the next person. We rationalize everything. And let me speak for myself. Let me not put it on everybody else. I can rationalize anything. I can make anything okay because, you know, if you had my wife, then you drink the way I drank. If you had my life, then you do what I do. If people treated you the way they treat me, then you'd be depressed too. It goes on and on and on. It's always someone else. And the real answer is that we cannot change anybody else other than ourselves. You can try all day long, and you will never be able to actually change the way somebody else feels about you. But what you can do is change how you react to that person.
Yeah, it's a transposition of the problem onto everyone else, failing to realize that I have a contribution to make to this, you know?
Exactly.
Let me give you an example from my own self. Last week, as you know, and as our dear friend Frank knows, but the audience perhaps would not know, I was in hospital. I was quite sick. I was very sick, to quote the doctor. And on the Monday morning, I was feeling a little sorry for myself, something I don't normally do. I've been through all kinds of cardiac traumas, and you know, churches have ups and downs, and my lovely wife was taken. But I've never felt sorry for myself. Well, I was feeling a little sorry for myself that morning, and I was crying out to God. But I can honestly say, by the grace of God, I was being sincere before Him. I understood that I didn't need to feel sorry for myself. I understood and gave acknowledgement to the Lord that He had my back. But there was still this emotional swath that had to be dealt with. And so, but I'm acknowledging my sin. I think when you feel sorry for yourself, you're denigrating the presence of the Almighty and what He's doing in your life. But I acknowledge that to God by His grace. And the next thing I know, there's a knock on the door, and in walks a man I hadn't laid eyes upon in 10 years. He travels the world for Jesus. We're very close friends from our Boston years. He was supposed to be traveling to Lisbon, Portugal, by way of Philadelphia. While in Philly at the airport, his trip was canceled. He had to negotiate a flight back home. Voila, there was time to come and see Brad Lacey and visit with him in hospital. The moment he walked through the door, I repented of feeling sorry for myself, because it was affirmation to me that God had my back, if I may put it that way, that God was on my side and watching over me. So when we're called upon to look ourselves in the eyes, when we're called upon to look ourselves in the mirror, we have a loving and faithful God who is right there with us. And He's not asking us to do this to condemn us, is He?
Absolutely not. This is not a act of condemnation or flagellation. We are trying to rid ourselves of our pathologies. And this is God working with us, not against us, to help us work through our own pathologies. So what we're making here is a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the Bible says, this is the verse that goes along with that, let us examine our ways, test them, and let us return to the Lord. You know, We need to meditate on that for a little while. Because
go ahead.
Therein lies the root of all our problems.
Well, and another scripture, and it does arise in the, within the text of the 12-step ministry for Christians from the prophet Jeremiah, and I think it's essential hearing, reading and hearing. The human heart is deceitful beyond measure. Who can fathom it? You know, when one hears young people, we commend them for any enthusiasm, for idealism. Praise God for that. But often they're touting positions. I don't care whether on the right or the left. They have no meaningful perspective. And so a self-righteousness sets in does not do justice to any worthy cause. But then again, it's not just young people in Western universities. It's Nazis in mid-20th century Germany as well. There's so many shoals that we have to be mindful of against which we could be damaged badly. But more on this, Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey with the great message. We return momentarily. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are discussing step four of the 12-step ministry for Christians. And to reiterate, step four says that we have made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The scriptural text that substantiates this step, taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Paige, you brought forth the all-too-true reality. This is a very difficult step for people for any number of reasons. With your experience, and I have some thoughts of my own, but I turn to you first. With your experience, what are some of the obstructions that make this step so difficult and that would prompt people to back away from pursuing this program?
The number one is denial.
Yes.
Number one, because I do the same thing, live in a state of denial. I deny the reality of my condition. And I use other rationalizations or excuses for why things are the way they are. Or I simply paint the fence white. I whitewash the fence. And there's no more rotten wood in the fence because it's all painted white now.
That makes me think, and I take nothing away from the motivation of Oprah Winfrey, but you recall the days when they would bring women onto the show and they would give them a complete makeover. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting they didn't look lovely already, but they looked drop-dead gorgeous when the makeover artist was done. And everyone would be ooing and ahhing them. But then that woman would still have to go home and deal with her psychological issues.
Exactly.
Are too painful to address. So they actually, I thought, were doing her a disservice. It's a whitewashing. It's not dealing with the core issues.
But it also brings forward the second issue. We love to have an outward appearance that we present to the world, that we want the world to see, that what we think people ought to think we are. And then there's what we really are.
Yeah, we want to look good rather than be good, right? I mean, yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm an old movie buff, and a case in point, and I've been watching her films and reading up on her, Marilyn Monroe owned the screen. If a camera or a video was playing, she just kicked into gear. And she looked beautiful and acted beautifully, and men adored her. She smiled and lit up the universe. Behind closed doors, the poor woman was a mess. She suffered from deep insecurity. She suffered from loneliness, you know. And Hollywood wasn't looking to help her. They were just looking to exploit her.
Exactly.
And this is playing out on obscure lives all throughout the world, isn't it?
All throughout the world. the world is looking to use and abuse each and every one of us in any way that it can. It will exploit you in a second, and then it will rationalize its doing so and use denial to cover up its own faulty way of thinking. And here's the whole world.
The world is doing it, and we're doing it ourselves.
And we're doing it ourselves. And it just goes on and on and on. And it gets worse, worser, and my own word, worser-ist.
Worser-ist. I think you should get that. Right. I think you should do what Pat Riley tried to do with three-peat. Get it patented, all right?
Get it patented, right.
Another one, brother, I think is pride.
Pride. Too proud to say I'm sorry. Too proud to say I was wrong. Too proud to admit that I may have a few faults.
Yes.
You know?
And as you know, you've met them, I've met them. I say it with compassion, but with forthrightness. We meet people, they have bottomed out so far that they literally don't have the proverbial pot to tinkle in, and yet they're still proud.
Yes.
They're still proud. It's uncanny how tough pride is. The presence of pride is tough as nails.
Well, you know, I work in a secular 12-step program, and I see people come through the doors who have absolutely hit skid row. And yet, if you offer them a peanut butter sandwich, they'll go, well, I don't need that. You know they're hungry, but their pride will not let them accept a peanut butter sandwich.
I've learned this one the hard way, Paige. I think in my case it was less pride than stubbornness, but I've gotten past it. And if there was an element of pride, I want to repent of it. But I learned the hard. I've always been a very giving individual, and I've been reluctant to ask for help. I'm no longer so reluctant because I've discovered something. If you want to help someone, you haven't earned the right to do so, because that can really boost your ego. I love helping people. That can really boost your ego. You haven't earned the right to do that until you have allowed someone else to help you. Because let's be honest, we all need help.
Exactly.
Every single human being who walks this earth needs help in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly. I would like to expand on the scripture that you quoted earlier. I'm gonna read it in its entirety.
From Jeremiah.
From Jeremiah in its entirety.
Yeah.
It goes like this: the heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure. Wow.
Yes.
Who can understand it? Or in some versions say, who can fathom it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. So, you see, as much as we can put this fake person out in the world that we want the world to see, and as much as we can put up a screen of denial so we don't really see the real person in the mirror in the morning, no matter how much we do that, we got to understand that the Lord our God is going to look directly at our heart. Exactly the way it is. And our screens of denial and our screens of rationalization and our fake personalities are not going to make any difference to him.
Yes, I wholeheartedly concur. And I might add, concerning this heart that is both deceitful beyond measure on the one and beyond cure on the other, I say this with the greatest respect. I have been on the receiving and beneficent end of both psychological and psychiatric care. I'm not meaning to take away from the worth of these practitioners. But when all is said and done, I suspect that the world of psychiatry and psychology will always remain in infancy stages, or in an infancy stage. Again, taking nothing away from any productive nature. but it will always be in an infancy stage because of what the Word of God just said. The human heart is deceitful beyond measure, and it is beyond cure. They can help apply band-aids. They can help apply coping mechanisms. Maybe by God's common grace, something comes forth of a deeper therapeutic nature. Praise God. But ultimately, we must look ourselves in the eye and bring ourselves before the throne of the Lord God Almighty in humility. And yes, in repentance and with a cry for help. More on this. Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey with the great message. We return very shortly. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians. We return for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are addressing step four of the 12-Step Ministry. We have made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The scriptural text taken from the Old Testament book of Lamentations, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Paige, we've addressed the issue of self-deception as an obstruction to, if you will, performing this step. We've addressed the issue of pride. I have another one for you, and I'd like to know what you think. I'm sure you deal with it all of the time. The great theological ethicist Reinhold Niebuhr said that the road to sin is grounded in one of two, you might call them polarities, that wasn't his word. Pride, by which we exalt ourselves, and on the other, debasement, by which we debase ourselves. And I guess the core of that to me is, I meet a lot of people who suffer from a very poor self-image, and the idea of having to look themselves in the mirror for psychological and emotional reasons that have been built up over years of experience, it's beyond painful. It's not even that they're looking to ignore the truth. They can't handle it in and of themselves because of the poor image they have of themselves. What do you think?
Debasement is the opposite side of the coin pride. It's the other side of the same coin. It's still a me focus. It's an I focus. Rather than being focused on the world and what you can bring to the world in order to make the world better, or what you can bring to the ministry in order to make God's ministry more palatable or more expressive in our culture. You're focused on yourself, one way or the other. Either myself, how great I am, or myself, how terrible I am. Either way, your problem is the unholy trinity. I, me, my. You know? That's the unholy trinity. You need to, the world, and that's you'll find almost everybody fits in one of those categories. They're trapped. Either one of them, pride you can't get out of, depression you can't get out of, self-abasement you can't get out of. These are all things that are incurable, as the Bible says. Now, what the God is offering us here in the 12 steps is a cure.
A cure that may play out over time. You know, I mean, with my recent hospitalization, I was told by the doctors, because my energy levels are depleted, it's going to take 4 or 6 weeks. Whatever the medical profession does for me, it still will require 4 to 6 weeks of getting back to my normal state of energy. When we're speaking of the psychological and spiritual realms, I mean, I want to get into the wording of this step. People who find their druthers, by God's grace, to look in the mirror. It can be very painful. You can walk away on any given occasion feeling beaten up, unless you have the requisite support around you or within you, aka the Holy Spirit. This is not going to be easy, right. But the wording is what intrigues me, Paige. We made a searching and fearless. How does one get to fearless?
One gets to fearless by being honest.
Yeah.
With the hardest person in the world to be honest with, yourself. Before I came to Christ, I spent more time lying to myself than I spent lying to anybody else on this planet. I told myself a bevy of lies constantly, either self-effacing or self-abasing. Either way, they were a bunch of lies. Whether I was on top of the world or whether I was under the building, it didn't matter. That was a bunch of lies. It was not true. The truth is that is what God says I am. When God says I am his child, you know, born again through the blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for me. Now that becomes truth. And all of a sudden, now I can face reality in that truth. The other thing that we Christians have that, you know, a lot of people who walk up to these steps and they're not Christians don't have is no matter how bad your past was, what we have is a forgiving God who has gone through great lengths to provide a method for which we can be forgiven for our sins, washed clean, and be made pure, so pure that we will be able to be presented to him. That's what these steps are all about. Just accepting Jesus Christ, that is very good. But accepting Jesus Christ and doing the work to clean up your life, to make amends to those you have harmed, and begin working a life that is God-glorifying is a whole lot better.
You know, we always run the risk within the Protestant evangelical world of presenting a shallow gospel, don't we?
Yeah.
And there's nothing shallow to the gospel. And, you know, I think, brother, it's important. I know my wife always felt that the church in general, in one respect, had failed because the Bible says where God is present, there is healing. And the church should be a place where God is not only present, but sovereign. But we've been very quick to minimize the healing and operative power of God. Maybe we don't do it by design or intent, but we're set in our ways. And so even churches, Christians, you speak of the need for us to be honest. I think we need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before the Almighty and be honest and transparent with ourselves. You also spoke of God being forgiving. And if you'll allow me to just bring in some alliteration here, he is forgiving. He is forbearing, because this is going to take time within our lives. We do the 12 steps, and come January, we're going to do them all over again. It's a lifetime, isn't it?
Yes.
Of development and maturation, excision of bad stuff. But forgiving, forbearing, and freeing.
Yes.
God does wish to set us free.
Yes. That's exactly
where the Spirit of God is. The Bible says, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, 2nd Corinthians, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom.
Exactly. And that's what this whole step process is leading us toward that freedom in God. Now, I'm not saying it's the only way to get there, because always remember that the steps came out of the Bible. So the steps aren't something that's apart from the Bible. The steps came directly out of the Bible. The progenitors of the steps were deeply Christian, and the people who helped them fashion the steps were religious leaders who helped them fashion the steps. So the steps came up out of the Bible, and they are simple ways of applying the principles that the Bible has already laid out.
Isn't it interesting, brother, whether it's the rise over 500 years worth of time, the rise of hospitals and medical institutions, in more recent vintage, the rise of 12-step ministries and the like. Isn't it interesting that these all were given spawn by the Church of Jesus Christ as it was acceding Amen. To the tenets and practices of God's word? Remarkable, the fruit of our gospel that gets short shrift in the world today, you know, but I think the fruit is in the pudding. There is no 12-step movement without the gospel.
Exactly.
Maybe it gets jettisoned down the line, but there is nothing to jettison without the gospel.
Well, there is a whole group of AAers who want to try to jettison the gospel. As you know, that was even true of early Christianity, you know, where you had the Gnostics or whatever they were, you
yes.
know, who were trying to jettison, you know, Jesus as divine. And you even still have groups today that try to say Jesus is not of a divine nature.
But you're taking the core, even with the United States, we're the triad of capitalism, a democratic republic, and Christianity. What's the one that's getting shoved aside now? Christianity.
Exactly.
That was core to remember when they changed the Coca-Cola formula, how disastrous
yeah,
that was.
Right.
Well, you're removing one of the core constituents of Western civilization, and you expect to prosper or to profit? Intellectually, to my mind, it doesn't add up. But what does add up, Brother Page, is that we're out of time for this segment. So, Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyler, we return for one final round of the great message in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyler, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So, brother, we've looked at some of the obstructions, pride, self-deception, poor self-image. What are some of the handles we can grab hold of to move forward with this step number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves? Sometimes it's helpful to be able to grip onto something. What are those somethings, do you think?
The number one is rigorous honesty. Number two is understanding that this is the beginning of the process that is going to make you an acceptable chalice for the Spirit of God to come and live in. Not visit once a week on Sunday, but come and live in, walk with, talk with each and every day. So the handle here is I got a goal, and the goal is to bring myself into right relationship with God so that he is not so offended by me and my lifestyle that he cannot enjoy an evening stroll through the garden with me.
That beautiful text from the book of Genesis. This is one of the most charming
yes.
texts in the Bible. Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Or let me present this to you, better stated. You and I have had these conversations over the years. I know you are in wholehearted concurrence, but I'd love you to speak to the audience. My experience when I was 45 years ago, I was a deeply troubled guy. It was being expressed in many, many ways. But God gave me the grace. First off, he visited me in the privacy of my room, and he never left my side. He gave me the grace to begin my own 12-step program without even knowing it was a 12-step program at the time. We're talking circa 1975 through maybe 78, 79, just to get started. And one thing I learned was, and this is wisdom to me, when you're doing this kind of thing, when you're making a searching and fearless inventory of yourself, it's going to require baby steps. You won't be leaping over mountains overnight. You've got to be patient These are baby steps that add up to a great deal. Well, what do you say?
Right. And it, absolutely. I have done multiple fourth steps, you know. And my sponsor, when I first came around, said, okay, this is your first fourth step. Right now, we're just sweeping the leaves off of the path so we can see the pathway.
Yeah.
So you may not get down to the core of everything. It may not be, it's as searching and fearless as you can be right now. And you get everything you can out right now. Guess what? You're going to get another opportunity. Because as you grow in the Lord, you're going to come to understand him more. As you come to understand him more, you're going to see more of yourself that is not like him. And as any good Christian, you're going to say, Lord, remove anything that is not like you. And you're going to then find yourself back at the fourth step again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to find yourself working through what is it in me that's keeping me separated from you, God? Okay. Oh, wow. Look at that character defect. I'm jumping ahead. I know. You people who just started this year never heard that word before. Mm-hmm. You'll hear it later on. And that will say, well, where did that come from? Back to my four step to see how is that affecting my personality, and I need to do a fearless moral inventory of how that's affected my, and that will unravel a whole bunch of other things, and you'll have yourself a whole other four step that you will have to work through, and this is an endless cycle.
Well, if I may offer a complimentary view. In my case, for instance, I juggle many balls. So I pastor the church. I administrate the church. I'm an ambassador on behalf of the church. I'm the president of the Bible Society. I do this broadcast and have another radio work as well. I have personal writings that I pursue that I have found from some people proved to be very helpful to their spiritual walk. I oversee special events. I juggle many balls. And that's just the work. But, you know, I also know something else of myself. My sin set, I juggle a vast and extensive sin set. You know, we have skill sets, we have sin sets. And you can only handle so much at one time. You know, I know every nation is concerned about a two or a three front war. To what extent can your defenses hold up? Well, when you're struggling with yourself, your corrupted, sinful self, you can only handle one or two, or maybe three if you're that good, but it's one step at a time, one problem at a time. That plays out
exactly.
Over a lifetime. But you make progress. You can look back and see how far you've come.
And all God is asking us to do is try.
Yes.
He's asking us to begin in the previous step. He asked us to make a decision. He didn't even ask us to do anything in the previous step other than just decide that we're going to go ahead and do the rest of these steps and that we're going to give over to him. Just a decision, not really do anything. In this step, all he's asking us to do is take a real hard look in the mirror and as best you can, pick out whatever flaws you can and be honest about them. And then, of course, we'll take those flaws into the next set of steps. And of course, we begin the repetitive process. You and I have been doing this for 20 years. It's a repetitive process, year after year after year. But what happens? You keep growing in Christ. You keep getting more and more like Christ. And your world around you, the ministry grows up around you without any effort on your own. Your ministry, your particular ministry. It may be nothing more than cooking in the church, but if that's your ministry, that's going to be your joy in Christ.
Well, I have found, and I know you agree with me, we often want to be busy doing things. And for those of us who are Christians and servants of the gospel, we want to be doing things for God. But the reality is that what is most effective is when God is at work in and through us. But that work will be obstructed by the ever-present, with a capital S, self, which is damaged, which is corrupted, which is defiled, and which is of limited duration, at least on this earth. So for God to shine forth through us, we are going to have to get out of the way. And the 12-step movement is, if you will, one of its effects is that we're getting, while we're growing and finding our healing, we're also getting out of the way of the Holy Spirit's capacity. He is sovereign.
He is sovereign.
Of doing his work. We're the agents and the vessels.
Right. And I'd like to also mention, it doesn't matter how much experience you have with this stuff.
Yeah.
You just start, and God will use you. Make yourself available, and God will use you. I had the experience of stopping back at an AA center that I used to go to all the time because I'm more in the area around. I've been spending more time in the area around where I used to live. And I went to this old center. And
10 seconds, brother. I'm so sorry. So make
that.
It. You,
okay.
We need to make
I go
it
in there. I go in there, and this brother says, "Hey, Paige was there when I first came in, and he babysat me for a whole weekend." I babysat him for a whole weekend. What is he talking about? All I did was keep the center open.
Yeah.
I didn't babysit him. I just did what I signed up to keep the center open. That's all.
Yeah. Hey, a baseball player goes to the plate every 3 innings, right? I mean, didn't he already do that? But you still have to go back. I'm sorry, brother, to have cut you off there. We are out of time. Brad Lacey with the great message. Brother Paige Todder, we thank you for your attention. Take care.